welcome to the Recruiter's Review. I am your host and creator, Pat Mingarelli. This is episode 8, non-competes, non-solicitation, and non-disclosure agreements. Chances are you've already signed one or all three, and you have far greater chances that you're going to be asked to sign one or all three. And that's whether you change jobs or stay where you are, provided you've not signed these documents before. These agreements are becoming more and more commonplace, and even in the right-to-work states, they have teeth. Yet, my firm is still moving people to the competition, and I'm seeing people clear up to CEO levels moving to direct competitors. And these people have signed non-competes. While the agreements appear restrictive, my experiences have shown that they are not entirely prohibitive. I will be addressing all three agreements in this episode, but I would like to start with the non-competes, as those are the most common documents that I see signed and requesting to be signed when somebody is executing a job change. I decided to do this episode because yesterday I was asked by a recruit of ours who's heading into a final interview with one of our IT consulting clients, and she wanted to know if our client would review her non-compete to make sure there were no issues that would get in the way of her joining them. Now, my client is not a competitor to her company in any way, shape, or form, so any non-compete she has signed would have no impact. But it made me aware of how many people have signed these non-compete agreements and are being asked to sign them, but they do not fully understand how they work and how they can be prohibitive or not prohibited at all. I've learned in my seat there is nothing absolute. I've seen people with ironclad non-competes still move to a competitor without any problems. I've seen other people who signed a very loosely written non-compete, yet they were stopped dead in their tracks 3 to 4 months into the new job at the competitor. There are a number of factors that determine the enforceability and even the desire for the company losing you to decide whether or not to enforce your non-compete agreement. There is a thing called good faith in contracts, and when both parties remain in good faith, agreements tend to be more enforceable. But when one or both parties break other agreements, remaining agreements, even with the legal term of notwithstanding, when things change to the negative, such as a drop in pay, drastic changes in duties, or overall provable negativity, the employee on a non-compete gains an upper hand in negotiations. And I'm putting that in quotation marks here. Please keep that word in mind, negotiations. I will address this as we go on in the episode. Just know that I do not endorse ever just quitting your job and saying, to hell with my non-compete, I'll deal with it later, and moving to a direct competitor. You're heading into trouble if you do it that way. I also want to insert, before I go any further in this episode, I am not an attorney. I am a professional recruiter. However, I have dealt with non-competes over my entire career, both from the recruiter perspective. I faced them in my own company, so I am very aware of how they work, and I have consulted with lawyers on both sides of a non-compete issue. My advice is always, if you're going to join a competitor, make sure their legal department is reviewing your non-compete. They will want to do that. So you need to disclose if you have one so that the hiring company is aware of it and their lawyers can look at it and tell you if you are heading into trouble coming to work for them or not. As for signing a non-compete, yes, I would advise you have an attorney of your choice. Look at your non-compete. In all of my years, whenever a recruit has questioned the non-compete and wanted their attorney to look at it, I've yet to have somebody come back to me and say, my attorney said I should not sign this. The non-competes are designed to protect the company, but they're not designed to keep you out of work. So if you're asking right now, Pat, do I have to sign a non-compete and should I sign a non-compete when I'm changing jobs? The answer is yes, and you're going to have to. I've yet to have a client waive a non-compete. I've had people ask, and the hard line in the sand is always drawn. You have to sign them. As long as you're not looking to go to the new company and then you're planning to leave and go do damage to them, you have nothing to fear in signing a non-compete, and I'm going to explain that as we go on in this episode. And like the recruit that I was just working with that brought up this episode, I actually don't see the majority of job moves to direct competition. It does happen, but most people when changing jobs are going on to different types of companies, and maybe it's within their space, but not actually to the direct competition. And the question I ask, and would ask somebody to ask of themselves, is why would you? And sure, if there's something suddenly going on at your company that's requiring a get out, you know, let's say company A is suddenly going down the tubes and company B, the direct competitor, may be the safe harbor. And depending on the circumstances at your company, you may not be the only person who's looking to move to the competition. And that can be good and it can be bad. It's good in that it would show some validity if you're making the claim that, hey, I've got to violate my non-compete because my company is going down the tubes. It's driving me into lower income or I'm going to be out of a job. But it's bad in that if company A is suddenly seeing three, four, or five people going to company B, they may put a suit on company B and say, that's it, cease and desist. And we ask that you let the employees you hired from us go. It's all situational. So I'm going to go back to my question. Why would you go to the competition? And if it's simply for more money, I'm not sure it's a move you should be making anyway. To my earlier episode and the decision to stay or go, that's a very important episode if you've not listened to it and the exercise that is drawn up in that episode. So do that now if you're just now listening in and contemplating a jump to your competition and you're curious about your non-compete. You know, like everything in life and business, there's a right way and a wrong way to do things. If done the right way, non-competes will not haunt you. They will not prevent you from making a move, even to your direct competition. You're not in danger if you sign one, and you're not held in place if you've signed one. Like I said earlier, unless you're setting out to inflict damage and get back at your company by heading to the competition and going after accounts directly or taking trade secrets, I don't believe you have anything to worry about. Just do it the right way. And we'll finish the episode with that, but you're going to have to resign and you're going to have to handle this non-compete upfront with your current employer. We'll be getting onto that next. So as I said a few times in this episode, non-competes protects the company that you work for from taking everything you know and learned and acquired there or even brought to them and then taking it to the competitor and doing damage to them. You know, and I've heard people say, hey, it's my work. I can take it with me. Well, the reality is your work was done for a company that paid you. They took the heavy financial risk. They put all the capital in line to open the company, buy the software, pay all the employees that support you. You have corporate owners that put their own assets on the line to build this company. So they're certainly not going to take kindly to you coming in, working there a few years, learning it, taking what you know, and then going to take revenues and customers away from them. To enforce a non-compete, it requires time and legal intervention. So the first question asked by the company losing you will be, well, what damage is happening or going to happen if they go to this company? The answer is nothing. It's going to drop right there. Perhaps you're going to a different unit of a company that maybe has a unit that competes with another unit in your company. But when they see you're not going to that unit and they have assurances from you that you're not secretly going to work for that unit, nobody's going to be vindictive and say, oh, let's enforce a non-compete just to screw this person over. You know, in that situation, it's not going to hold up in court anyway. And those at the company know that. So it would not be worth the time and expense to pursue your non-compete. An illustration of non-competes and why they're enforced and the damages. When I started in the recruiting field, I was doing a lot of work in the telecommunications industry, and I became close to a story that was circulating about a sales executive. He was with the prominent telecommunications network provider. He suddenly joined a competing network, and at the time, he did not have a non-compete. They weren't quite as popular then. But he went to a competing network provider and worked there for 2 to 3 years, and then he returned to the company that he worked for initially. He brought with him all kinds of pricing information, customer lists, and he started bringing those clients back to the company that he left originally. There was a lot of speculation that he was a plant. And in other words, the executives at company A knew he was leaving to go to company B. They wanted him to go to company B, and there was a plan for him to ultimately return back to company A, and which he did. And it wasn't long thereafter that the telecommunications industry started having their people sign non-competes. But on a note there, even then, I watched people go from AT&T to MCI to Sprint to CenturyLink. Those were the companies at the time. But when those people changed those jobs, they resigned professionally. They let their companies know where they were going, and they did not call on their customer base. They honored the terms to not solicit their own customers away for the period of a year, and they went and used their knowledge of the industry, but not the knowledge from the company. And for a year, they worked honestly and hard and did nothing to damage the companies that they left. That's the right way to do it, and that's how you ensure you will not have a problem with your non-compete. And again, the reminder that non-competes only apply to competing companies. So if you're selling digital banking today and you want to go work for a core processing company tomorrow, your digital non-compete has no application to that core processing company. You're not going into competition with your digital banking company today. You're moving to a core processing company. Sure, you can even call on the same customers because you're not doing any damage to the company that you're with today by going to the company you're going with tomorrow. And heard this in resignations. You can tell your company, by the way, since I'm not competing with you, when my core processing clients are looking for digital clients, I can tell them about you. And perhaps you can do the same for me. So in my leaving, we still have the opportunity to work together and help each other out. I hope we can do that. As I said, I'll have an entire episode about the resignation, but you just got a little piece of it here. Now, how do you deal with a non-compete that's potentially going to become sticky, or you're now in a sticky non-compete situation? First of all, again, I'm not a lawyer, but I have sat in lawyers' offices and courtrooms for the arguments on non-competes, and here's what I've learned. First off, if you sign a non-compete under one set of terms, and those terms change for the negative, you are already on your first level of out on the non-compete. Now, you may not be completely released, but you may start to get a little leeway, and it may help in the agreements that you're going to make with the company you're leaving as you join the competition. When you are in a deposition or a courtroom about a non-compete that you're fighting or being challenged on, the first question almost always asked by the company's attorney that's losing you, first thing they'll ask you is, when you signed this agreement, were you sincere or were you trying to do something fraudulent? And of course you say, no, I signed this honestly, because if you say I didn't intend to do it, putting yourself into a bad situation in the courtroom. However, the follow-on question is going to be from your attorneys if you've lost something, which will be, well, when my client signed this non-compete, you offered A, B, and C. 2 years later, you took A, B, and C away. Is that true? And of course, they'll have to answer under oath, yes. My experiences are that if you have had things taken away, the non-compete is starting to lose its teeth already because you made an agreement to join a company and not go to the competition, but you were promised certain things. Now, my experience is this is actually unusual. If a company has taken away from you, they're probably not going to enforce your non-compete anyway because they know what the outcome's going to be. It's very unlikely that they're going to challenge you. But you still want to ensure that you are free and clear by handling it the right way. What I see more often is an agreement is signed early on, and then your company is sold or acquired. That's another odd that you have that I found out. So if you sign an agreement with Company A, and 5 years later, they were acquired by Company B, and you've given it 12, 14, 16 months. You've decided, I got to get out of here. Well, you actually signed an agreement to not compete with Company A. You did not sign it with Company B. So unless the acquiring company has had you sign a new agreement and offered you something for that, I'll get into that, you are also now most likely free and clear of the original non-compete you signed. And again, I've had hires that signed very strict non-competes, but then their companies were sold. A year or two later, they left to go to the competition, but the document on file was an older document under the other company name, and sure enough, non-competes weren't enforced because as the lawyers looked at it, they realized we're going to have a hard time enforcing this in court. That does not mean, however, that you're free to go to the competition, solicit your customers, do damage. This is all part of when you resign and you tell them where you're going. You're getting the assurances that there will be no pursuit, and you've got these trump cards to lay on the resignation desk. But again, nobody will be free to leave a company and start soliciting customers away day one or taking trade secrets or doing damage. I do want to make sure that that point is loud and clear here. On the front of if a company acquires your company and then wants you to sign a new non-compete, if you are asked to sign a new non-compete agreement and told you will be terminated if you don't, well, that's called under duress. That becomes another argument when you're going to the competition. So when asked, why did you sign this non-compete? And the answer is because I was told I'd be fired if I didn't. Creates yet another out. So when you're negotiating your leave, hey, by the way, Mr. Employer or Miss Employer, when you had me sign this non-compete, it was under duress. So I hope you're not going to stand in the way of me going to this next company. I will live by the terms of I will not solicit customers for a year, but I am going to this company and the non-compete I signed with you otherwise is not valid, and I'll be happy to challenge it in court, and so will my attorney. And they're going to likely agree with that. Now, however, if you are signing a non-compete because your company's been acquired, and they offer you a financial incentive, or you have just lost your job And they said, you know what, though? We're going to give you a healthy severance package, but in exchange for this, you have to sign this non-compete. You are now bound by that document, and you have taken a financial incentive, so the sign under duress, et cetera, is not applicable. Usually in those cases, though, the numbers are actually worth honoring the non-compete. I'm aware of an executive, actually, again, from the telecommunications industry. He lost his job but was given a very healthy, basically, he was paid for almost 2 years to sit on the sidelines, but he was told, you cannot go to work for our competition. And he honored that. 2 years later, he's working for their competition. Fast forwarding through all of this, yes, the non-competes you have signed or will sign, they are enforceable. If you're leaving and joining a competitor underhandedly, then you're going to face the consequences that come from signing and then violating the non-compete. As well, the company hiring you will face suit for hiring you and creating what the legalese call tertiary interference with a contract. So the reality is companies should be asking you about your non-compete. You need to be aware of them. However, as I've said, they don't mean you won't be employable. They just mean you can't take what and who you know and go do damage to the company you're working for today. I actually would hope that you have a copy of all your employment paperwork and you know what you have signed. If you do, read it very carefully as you begin your new job search. There is going to come a time that you're going to have to resign, and that non-compete is going to have to be addressed. Unless, of course, you're not going to a competitor. Then it does not matter. And if it is a competitor, what you're doing in your resignation is you're negotiating. First, you have the hiring company review your non-compete, and they'll let you know if there are ways around it. And usually the answer is yes, but you'll have to have these agreements with your company. If the answer is we can't hire you, well, now you know you can't go to a direct competitor. You'll have to execute what I'll call a more complex resignation and make some agreements. And I've seen agreements along the lines of you won't be calling on your customers for a year, and you start there. Sometimes it's as broad as you can't call on any of our customers for a year. And you might have to live by that too. But remember, no company owns 100% of the customers out there. 12 months goes pretty fast. And usually it's related to a territory. More often than not, everyone is amicable to this type of arrangement. And you end up finding yourself free and clear. You go to the competition. You do it right for a year. You don't have any trouble. Here's what you don't want to do. Don't resign and sneak away to the competition and think you're going to get away with it. Because if you get discovered calling on accounts, and they find out you're at the competition, sure enough, you and the hiring company are going to get slapped with a suit. And in those cases, you're likely to be terminated by the hiring company because they can't afford to keep you. Otherwise, they are now in violation of your non-compete with you, and you will be out of a job. Now, I know this probably makes you uneasy about having to sign a non-compete when you start a new job. You're going to have to sign one. It is very, very rare that a company who has them as a matter of business will make an exception for anybody, and that's even up to CEO level. I have seen CEOs have to sign non-competes. As I've said, though, most people that sign non-competes are able to continue in their industry as long as they do it the right way. Sometimes, though, there is a warranting of addendums to non-competes, and I've seen these successfully executed. It really depends on the position in the industry as well as your uniqueness in the marketplace. But you can start with an addendum that releases you from your non-compete if you are terminated, not for cause, but because the position is dissolved or the company just can no longer afford to keep you. Explain that you're not looking to be put out of work if things don't work out. And I have seen things as specific as, I am bringing the following accounts with me. If you cannot sustain me and I have to leave, not for cause, these accounts come with me. Remember that the tone of these agreements, they're designed to keep you from damaging the company based on what you gained while working there. Nobody is saying, we want to keep this person out of work if we can't keep them. If you go out of your way to do things right, you're not going to have non-compete issues, so you are safe in signing them. I have yet to see a company stop someone from going to a competitor when proper resignation and above board explanations are given, especially if it's because the move had to be made. It's just when that person sneaks away to the competition or says, yeah, I won't compete with you, and they start calling on their accounts day one, well, you're going to find those non-competes enforced. In the end, if you do it any other way but right, they are a problem. In the cases of true deterioration of work conditions, drops in pay, etc., you might want to still have an attorney look at everything you've signed, explain to them what's going on, And you can say, I signed under these terms, but here are the terms I'm under today. What do you think? Then if your attorney tells you it's probably in your favor, something you can use in the negotiations. It is rare that these non-compete agreements actually go to court very often because of everything I just explained in this episode, which is why I believe you are entirely safe in signing your new non-compete in the new job that you're taking. There are two other agreements you have to be aware of, especially if you've already signed them and you're very safe in signing them. But there's another agreement that are in most employment contracts, and they apply both to managers and leaders as well as workers. That's the non-solicitation agreement that says if I leave to go to another company, I'm not going to pilfer the company of other employees here. And it's a very straightforward agreement. And I'm not a big fan of it, not of the agreement. I'm not a big fan of people that do that. If you leave a company, okay, that's your personal decision. But if you now start prompting other people and say, yeah, you know what, it sucks over there. Come over here. It's much better. That's not the thing to do. One more time. What goes around comes around. You got to do everything right. Treat people right. If other employees find their way over there, great. But you don't want to be part of the mass exodus of the place that you just worked and took a paycheck from. Keep all of your relationships and bridges intact. So just remember, if you've signed that, then you cannot feed names to human resources or the internal recruiter or your manager to bring them over to the company. Otherwise, you will be in violation of that agreement. You could get sued, and same, the company that just hired you could be sued because they are now interfering with that piece of an agreement you signed and made. Again, that's called tertiary interference with a contract. Just don't do it. And the third and final is the non-disclosure agreement. This usually comes into play when you're interviewing with startup companies or companies that have very proprietary information. If you sign a non-disclosure agreement, then you keep everything that you have learned in that interview process confidential, as well as once you join that company. If you have signed a non-disclosure statement, that means you will not disclose that information ever. The damages that that can create and how those could come back on you could haunt you for the rest of your life. If you sign it, live by it, keep that stuff in the mental vault. And if you leave the company, shred documents, hand them back over to the company. You do not want to ever find yourself in violation of a non-disclosure agreement, especially if that information leak causes major and catastrophic damage to the company. Very important that you honor those. There can never be the over a drink, hey, let me tell you something. I'm not supposed to say this, but I interviewed at that company and they're doing this. Your signature is in a document that could come back to bite you very hard for breaking that confidentiality. In closing, since I've mentioned the resignation, know that I do have an episode coming up this season that would be dedicated only to the resignation from start to finish, to include how you bring the non-compete into it if it's applicable. Meanwhile, know that this episode is here to remind you to check what you have already signed before you decide to interview with your competition or any company that is near competition, as well as to give you the assurances that these agreements are now the norm and you will be asked to sign them and you're safe in doing so. They will not shut you out of your industry. Until the next episode, this is Pat Mingarelli signing off from the Recruiter's Review.